Houston.
Jobs in Kent.com.
RIFT Research and Development. Reuniting innovators and business tax credits. RIFTResearch.com.
The Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker radio show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 11th of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stockingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Welcome to part two of the show. Just before we kick off with part two of the show, Jules has had her request fulfilled. And we now do have a picture of Ben on Twitter.
I shall have a look.
Yeah, so thank you. He looks like a nice young man. Do stay away from Jules, Ben, if you value your sanity. But thank you for sending
Does
that in.
Does he drive? That's what we need to know.
Right. And Juliet Shand has tweeted in. Hello, Juliet. Hope you're well. Hope your new job is going okay. It says, hi, Jules and Paul. I need to write a business plan today. Do any of your listeners sell business plan template software, please?
Well, what about our lovely lady up north, Andrea?
Andrea, at Click Business, she may well do.
She would help.
Yeah.
That's K-L-I, isn't it? How does she do it?
Claire's got something to input in here.
I did my business plan from the one on the Lloyds Bank
website.
It's completely free and it was brilliant.
There you go, Lloyds Bank. There you go, Juliet. So, thank you for that. Brilliant. Could you tweet that back to Juliet?
Yes.
Thank you. Lloyds Bank, as recommended by Claimer Day.
Yeah.
Thank you. Cool. I'd like to be of service.
I'm getting, what's it called? Repetitive strain industry. No.
Repetitive strain industry.
What am I getting?
I don't know what you're getting.
What am I getting, Dr. Simon? He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. He should know.
Not that kind of doctor.
Yeah, I am, no.
That's a limp wrist you're showing me there. Yeah. Anyway, enough of all that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show Dr. Simon Raby. Simon
was
and
it Lloyds, you said, sorry. Yeah. Carry on.
Oh, sorry. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Simon and his team from the University of Kent Business School, Centre for Employment, Competitiveness and Growth, as some of our listeners will know, have been conducting some long-term research into small and medium-sized enterprises and what makes us successful and what makes good business people and all kinds of things. And we've been concentrating once a month on one of the BIG, that's the Business Improvement and Growth, 10 traits that they identified from their research were useful things to do in business. So they're not you have to do this and then you succeed type things. So it's not that kind of thing. They're just 10 traits that entrepreneurs and business people tend to display when they are being successful. And we've discussed a number of those on the show. And today we're going to be discussing another one of those traits with Simon. And we're going to be joined later on the phone by Dr. Tendai Vicky, who I believe currently is in Zimbabwe.
That's correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Is he still, but he's still working for the University of Kent?
No, I believe he's left now. So,
okay.
Yeah, he's progressing a career outside of academia.
Oh, is he? Right, okay. Well, he's a bit of an entrepreneur anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I first met Tendai a couple of years ago when he launched one of his early lean startup companies, which was interesting. Cool. Well, we're going to be joined on the phone, hopefully, from Zimbabwe as we go into this. But, Simon, give the listeners a bit of a background in more detail to, you know, and some more academic rigor than I just said. He's a bloke doing stuff.
I think you've given a pretty good introduction, actually, Paul, so thank you for that. I mean, exactly as you say, there's sort of 10 characteristics that have emerged from the work that we've done. Mm. A lot of research that's gone in over the last sort of 10 years. And they're not 10 characteristics which are linear characteristics, i.e. the 10 steps to success. There's lots of those sort of things that already exist out there. You do these things and you're going to be really successful. What they are sort of lenses into an organisation, ways that we can start to challenge the way that we think and the way that we approach growing our organisations and performing as individuals and also together. So they're things that we like to challenge people through, business owners, leaders, and today, as you said, we're going to obviously focus on one particular one. The innovator is going to be today. So really excited to look into what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a trait that we talk about a lot. And in other contexts, I've been kind of mooting this and touting it around a little bit, because I think it's a trait that big corporations kind of suffer with but not being quite so good at in terms of their responses as smaller organisations. But maybe your research shows something different. But, you know, with big organisations, when they sit down to innovate, I remember years and years ago, I worked for a big corporate and they decided to, they'd read Tom Peters, yeah, In Search of Excellence. And one of the things he recommended was a skunk works, which was an innovative group of people that got together and brainstormed. So being a big corporate, what they did is they formed a committee, appointed a project manager, advertised for a team, and it just got all corporate and, you know, not very innovative. So I'm going to be fascinated to see what your research has come out with on what is a very, very important topic area for business, as far as I'm concerned, especially now, excuse me, that the rate of change in business seems to have escalated. We seem to be at a point with business these days where change is really, really endemic. You know, you can see it happening almost on a monthly basis sometimes in some industries. So I'm fascinated by this. So give us some background to the innovator.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. I'll just sort of follow on from your point, I think, Paul. It's interesting how a lot of organisations improve themselves through cost efficiencies internally, reduction, lean. People talk about being lean quite often. But you're also talking about flexibility and being agile as well. And, well, how can we do that? Well, we can be lean, sure, but we can also be responsive.
Yeah.
And, an innovator is someone who can be responsive to the marketplace and can translate that into something that actually makes some sense for the marketplace. So in terms of how we define an innovator, we define an innovator as someone who develops new products and services, but not just ideas, but is able to actually take them to market.
Yeah.
So, that's a really important thing because it's about generating new revenue streams at the end of the day. It's about getting more business in.
Absolutely.
And I think there's some sort of key background to the research and stuff that we've been finding out, which I can highlight. One of the big areas is the fact that everyone thinks innovation's important. Why wouldn't you? If you go out and ask business owners, they'll say, yeah, of course innovation's important. It's a no-brainer. Typically, 90% would say, yep, it's really important for our business. So you go, well, that's really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? And they often struggle to say what innovation actually is, what it means to them, how they would define it, and ultimately what the process of innovation is within their organisation. So what we actually find is the output of innovation, very rarely is there a lot of revenue that comes from it. So there's a lot of ideas that are had within organisations, and we'll talk about this to Tendai in briefly in a minute, because there's a difference between creativity and being creative, but actually also being innovative. And I think there's something sort of stark difference there that we have to draw.
Do you feel comfortable about highlighting what the difference between those two is?
Well, creativity ultimately is about an idea, coming up with ideas, visions for things, but innovation is actually about turning that bit, going on a journey and turning it into a product, turning it into a service, turning it into something that
tangible.
And I think we can often confuse the different concepts.
Yeah.
And many business owners that we work with, they'll talk about having a grand vision. They'll talk about, the gut feel I have is that this is going to be really good.
This time next year, Rodney.
and it may well be, but quite often, first of all, they don't check an assumption against the marketplace of is it actually valued by the marketplace? And then secondly, when we're cascading it down through the organisation, it's not properly communicated and there's no process behind it. So people in an organisation need some process.
Hopefully we got Tendai on the phone.
Yes, you do.
Hello, Tendai. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker
Hello.
Show. We were just talking with Simon about the background to the innovator, and we were discussing the difference between creativity and innovation, in terms of creativity being a generation of ideas and innovation. I'm paraphrasing Simon here. This is 10 years research work in one sentence. Innovation being the ability to deliver something tangible.
Yes, and I don't know what Simon was saying, so maybe I'll be quiet for a minute and let Simon finish.
Absolutely. But anyway, welcome to the Business Bunker Show, Tendai. Cool. It's lovely to hear from you. I haven't seen you for ages. I understand you're basically in Zimbabwe at the moment talking to us.
Yes, that's where I live now. I've moved back home.
You've moved back home. I thought you'd gone missing from Canterbury and I hadn't seen you for a while.
What is the time difference over there?
We're 1 hour ahead.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. Not too bad then.
Cool. Okay, Tendai, we'll let Simon finish off where he was on setting the parameters, and then we'll kind of dive in and chat to you about it.
Great.
Nice one.
Fantastic. I mean, yeah, just to sort of recap, I guess what we were talking about, Tendai and the rest of the audience, was basically about how innovation is seen as being really important for organisations. So if you ask a business owner, a leader in an organisation, what's really important, innovation seems to be that thing. But quite often they struggle and find it difficult to translate their ideas into something that actually is meaningful for the marketplace. The other area I think that we also find is that the tendency quite often to place all eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
So people might label this a product portfolio or a service portfolio, or it's basically the range of products or services that you have. But a lot of organisations quite often place their eggs in one basket in terms of having one main product or one main service. Mm. Quite often they may have one main customer, for instance, as well. So it's about how do we get beyond that to innovate, to generate, you know, new opportunities, to spread risk,
right,
and to invest in those other areas.
Cool.
And, you know, ultimately, as we know, resources are finite for smaller firms, and we need to be doing this in a particular way, an intelligent way.
Absolutely.
And so, therefore, when we do invest in new ideas, we need to have probably some credibility behind the assumptions that we're making into what is actually required. But I know that, you know, one of the terms, Tendai, that came up in the conversation, as we're talking about the difference between creativity and innovation, is something called product market fit, that innovation is actually about how do you get that fit right. And I wonder whether you wanted to say some words around creativity and innovation, the difference, but also, you know, why it's so important to get that fit right.
Yeah, so what's interesting about the conversation we're having, right, is that when companies talk about innovation, the reason they talk about innovation is that it's because that it's innovation is actually the best way to increase top-line revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you can increase profits because it's a ratio by cutting costs, but overall, unless you're growing markets, entering new markets, developing new products, it's actually hard to grow top-line revenue.
Yep.
And so if that's the case, then that then becomes the focal point, right? That becomes the point for the whole exercise. But what usually happens is people know that's what they want to do, but then they get tricked by newness. They start to focus on new stuff. And usually it's because they've seen startups do well or something like that, so they start to think that newness is the same thing as innovation. But actually, newness is not innovation. You can create new things, but that doesn't mean that the customer is going to want those things and they're going to be willing to give you money for it.
Absolutely.
So that's what we mean by product market fit. That's when you've created something great, but also that customers want it and you've got a business model that's sustainable to support all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love what you just said there, Tendai. I was having a conversation with someone the other day that was telling me about a gap in the market that they'd spotted, and I had to point out to them that there was a reason there was a gap in the market, and the reason was that nobody wanted the product that they were touting.
Oh, dear. What was the product?
I wouldn't tell you, but it was...
There wasn't a gap in the market. There was no market.
But... Yeah, exactly, exactly. No, so that's a really interesting point, and it's something that people do miss. And I really get what you're saying about product market fit, because, you know, you can come out with all kinds of wacky ideas, but it's whether they ever work and you can bring them to market. Absolutely.
I mean, one of the things, Tendai, you're also alluding to is one of the big, you know, values gained from innovation in terms of generating higher revenue. So it's a way of increasing the size and the scalability of your business. But what are some of the other benefits, you know, you would say that are really important for innovation and why firms innovate?
Exactly. So, I mean, this is a really great day as well to be having this conversation. Like yesterday, Google announced that they're going to change their name to Alphabet. Remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. And the reason they've been able to do this is that they haven't put their eggs in one basket, like you said.
Yeah.
They've pursued a strategy where they've had a balanced portfolio. And in that balanced portfolio, they have their core business, which is the search business, the advertising business. But while they've been doing that, they've been exploring all these other things to which they can actually invest in and grow. So innovation helps you to grow top-line revenue. But what it does is that it also saves you from any shift in the market or any decline in the core business and allows you to sustain over the long term. And what's interesting about Google's announcement is that you can place it in context to Microsoft announcement last week that they had their largest ever loss in the history,
right.
In their history, the largest ever quarterly loss in their history. Unlike Google, who've invested a lot in a diversified portfolio, Microsoft tended to just focus on their software.
Yeah.
And then they bought Nokia, and because they bought Nokia too late in the smartphone game, they've now actually had to sign off that whole purchase as a loss.
Yep.
And so that's one of the things that innovation helps you do. It helps you balance your portfolio and manage the evolution of your organization over time.
Absolutely.
And you're also, I guess, alluding to there as the importance of prioritisation, you know, sort of focusing on particular areas for investment. And obviously for smaller firms, that's crucial because of, you know, resources being finite, that they really need to understand and really put their chips where they believe there's going to be greater success. So being able to look at that across different opportunities is a key area.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so one of the things that's really important is that when... So the reason why companies struggle with innovation is that they try and treat innovation as they do their already successful businesses, which is that in your already successful business, you know how much money you're going to make, you know what customers you have, so you can make five-year projections, you can use business planning. But when you're doing innovation, you can't then do the same thing. And so what companies tend to do is they use a business plan and then they make a one-time huge bet. Right? If you're a small company, if you're making one-time huge bets over and over again and they don't succeed, you're much more likely to be spending your resources and ultimately destroying value. The whole point of innovation is to make small bets, small incremental bets, and double down on those bets as you start to see that this is something that customers want, and then you start to go to scale rather than go to scale straight away. Yeah,
so, no, that's interesting. So that kind of leads me on. I don't want to jump in and talk all over Simon, but that kind of leads me on to ask how it happens. How do we get innovative?
Right. So, from my perspective anyway, and from some of the work that I'm doing with Pearson at the moment, what we try and do is to try and stop. The first thing we try and do is we try and stop imagining the organization, your company, as this single monolithic institute that does this one thing.
Right.
So that's the first thing you need to do. Rather than imagine your company as a single thing and you're trying to optimize operations, why don't you imagine your company as an ecosystem of products? So you'll have core products that are your mainstay. And those ones, over time, will obviously start to lose, you know, customers, start to lose revenue, and start to lose profitability. So in preparation for that, why don't you put in your ecosystem adjacent innovation, which are new products that are kind of like the products that you're doing well on, but are maybe entrance to new markets or changes and improvements on current products. But in addition to that, why don't you add into your ecosystem transformational innovation, which is crazy plays, you know, new markets, new ideas, right? So once you have an ecosystem of products, then you say, okay, 70% of our resources are for managing our core business, 20% of our resources are for managing our adjacent innovation, and 10% will be these small bets that we make on, you know, new ideas for entering new markets. So that's the second thing. Once we've made the decision of creating an ecosystem of products, then you say, okay, great. Now we have an ecosystem of products. What do we do? Well, you need to understand that the ways that you manage your core product portfolio are not the same ways you can manage your adjacent and transformational innovation. With your core product portfolio, you can manage that by using five-year projections, traditional accounting, return on investment, et cetera, et cetera. But for your innovation product portfolio, you need to first make sure that you've got product market fit before you start moving them to your core product portfolio. And the journey towards product market fit is really about experimentation, talking to customers, building small prototype versions of your product, making sure that people are willing to pay, how much are they willing to pay, how much will it cost us to create. As you answer all these business model questions and you move towards more confidence that this product is going to work, you can start to then double down investment and scale and actually grow. So it's really a balance of like managing your portfolio well and then making sure that you understand what stage in your portfolio each one of your products is on their journey to product market fit, so you can be applying the right management principles to it.
I mean, and that's, you know, a fascinating way of seeing things in terms of how do you make those balances? Because very often we can get pulled into the day-to-day management of our organisations, can't we? You know, we have to fulfil the existing customers and clients that we have.
Absolutely.
We have to fulfil the orders that are coming in every day. So how do we keep also looking forward? Mm. And that was another one of the characteristics which we explored a little while ago, the strategist, in terms of, well, how do we create these visions? How do we have that longer-term approach as well? And I think what Tendai's really sort of alluding to, which is very important, is to balance those areas and to ensure that there is going to be business there in the future, as well as the business that we're obviously fulfilling today. So
absolutely,
a really interesting insight there.
Absolutely. Tendai, as Simon says, a really interesting insight. Sadly, we're kind of running out of time a little bit here, because it's a topic that we could talk about for a long, long time. Is there kind of two or three tips that you could give us, Tendai, to leave us with on innovation, what we should do, how we should think about it?
All right. So, I mean, all the managers listening, or the business owners listening, the first question you should ask yourself is, do we have a balanced portfolio, or is our portfolio too heavy in terms of core products?
Yep.
The second thing you need to say is, are we managing our innovation products the same way we manage our core products? And if you are, then go back to your innovation projects and kill the business plan, kill the 5-year projection, and adopt lean and agile practices. And those lean and agile practices will help you navigate your way towards product market fit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just one final question before we have to leave you, Tendai. Do you think that this mixed portfolio approach is something that's quite new, or something that should have been in place for quite a long time?
So what's interesting about this is, if you talk to investors, when people are buying stocks or buying companies, they're often told that they should have a balanced portfolio or a mixed portfolio. But companies don't do this with their own portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is rather strange. It's almost like basic economic advice.
Yeah.
It's just that now people are sort of embracing this as the truth, and then they're adding on top of that the realization that you don't manage all aspects of your portfolio the same way.
Sure.
You need to be sure that you understand where they are on their journey towards product market. Yeah.
I think, you know, taking a very sort of practical example close to home, it goes back how we each manage our own finances, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
In terms of, you know, a lot of us will just be quite risk averse. We'll stick our money in the bank.
Yeah.
We might try and find some high interest ISAs and lock it away for 5 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other people will be dabbling in the stock exchange. They may buy a classic car that have gone up thousands of pounds in recent years. But that portfolio approach, how is it that we're achieving it? We all do it in different parts of our life.
Yeah.
But we might not apply it in our own businesses. So having some thoughts about how that might happen is really important. I mean, one of the tips I would sort of say as well, I think, is getting quite clear on the process you have for innovation and whether you actually have a process in your organisation. So from that idea, and when that idea, you know, happens, it doesn't have to happen with the business owner. It equally happens with employees, who are quite often the eyes and ears of organisations. So, you know, they will get to see what's happening in the marketplace. They'll speak to customers and suppliers, and they'll see a lot of opportunity there. So how do you capture that, but also how do you translate it into something that's meaningful? So I think just sitting down, spending time with employees, brainstorming, working through those sort of things about, well, how do we need to be together to be innovative?
As I say, we're kind of running out of time a little bit here, Simon, unfortunately. Can you encapsulate all of that? Tell us what we're going to do next and how it's all going to work.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, every show that we do once a month, we publish as a blog afterwards. So all of this will be captured, the conversation, as well as some further thoughts on innovation, some further resources that people can go and read more about will be available. So we'll obviously do that as a matter of course. And we'll be exploring the next characteristic next month, which I believe is the integrator.
Which
looks further at sort of value chain thinking. So how is it that we're working with our consumers? How is it that we're working with our suppliers? Quite often, again, we'll look at ourselves as one business, and we'll be quite protectionist.
Absolutely.
Collaboration's a big word that's starting to happen more and more and more.
Absolutely.
And especially in the world of innovation. So if we want to, you know, exploit the opportunities that we have, how do we collaborate more effectively, and how do we really know what it is that end consumer or customer requires from us? So that's going to be the sort of show next time. A lot about value as well, what value really is. And so all these characteristics blend together. They're not distinct in their own right. They are integrated, so they should be thought about. How do you layer them on top of each other? What are you doing in these areas? So all interesting stuff, and there's lots more that can obviously people can find out through our website, which is available through obviously the Big Insights page, through the Business Bunker radio show. And anyone wants to get in touch, very happy to answer any questions.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Simon. Yeah, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk blog pages, the BIG Insights page, There is resources there. It tells you all about the project. There is the ability to download a free copy of the BIG 10 booklet. There's also links back to the University of Kent to some free resources and some very, very cost-effective paid-for resources with in-depth research in it. So do have a look. And if you've got any questions, as Simon says, do feel free to contact Simon. For the moment, Tendai Vicky, Dr. Tendai Vicky in Zimbabwe, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's lovely to talk to you. And to hear your dulcet tones once again.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah.
Long time, yeah. I'll be around in Canterbury soon, so I'll come around and see you.
Yeah, come and say hi. We'd love to see you again. But for the moment, Tendai, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Plunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear from you.
Thank you, Tendai.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you for having
pleasure.
Me.
Pleasure. See you soon. Cheers.
Fabulous, Tendai. It's lovely to hear from him. I haven't heard him on the show for a while.
No, absolutely. And as I say, I hadn't seen him in Canterbury. He used to hang out in Fruitworks quite a lot back in the day. Mm. Yeah. We did quite a bit of work together on lean startups a couple of years ago.
I mean, that's a really interesting methodology that's out called lean startup. I know we haven't got time to explore it now.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is it? It's really interesting because, I mean, I spent some time as a consultant trying to apply a lean startup methodology to a small business, and it didn't go as planned in terms of, you know, how they wanted to apply it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of lessons to learn out there of you know, these buzzwords and labels and you know, new tools and techniques can come up, but how is it that we're actually using them? So
it is interesting. You know, there are lots of templates and things out there to work, but it's a little bit like we keep advising when we start to talk about this isn't a panacea. There's no such thing as a panacea. If there was, we'd all be doing it. It would be, you know, it would just be a no-brainer. You know, there are clever things to do, and there are different things to learn and adapt and stuff like that. But as my old mate Richard Branson once said, he said, being an entrepreneur is about throwing yourself off a cliff and building a plane on the way down. And that kind of is where we get to eventually, is that sometimes you just go out on a limb. Eric Ries, who pioneered Lean Startup as a methodology, he's a venture capitalist from Southern California. He had a particular thing in mind when he did it, which was digital startups, because he found, like I found as an investor, that a lot of people come along with ideas for digital technical startups, and they tend to be geeks. They tend to be very clever technical people. And what they do is they spend far too much time developing the product and not enough time talking to the customers and finding out if there's a need and what the customers actually want. And that was a lot of the foundation. But that kind of only works in certain circumstances, but you can mix and match.
And quite often in organisations as well, you know, especially those of us who have perfectionist tendencies, but we'll want to get everything just right, or just as right as we think it needs to be before it hits the market.
Yeah.
So, you know, within the lean startup sort of methodology, they talk about a minimal viable product.
Yeah.
And what that really means is take it to market as soon as you can,
yeah,
because the more feedback you get on it, the quicker you can develop the product, so long as you have the team in place to develop the product.
Yeah.
And that's where it becomes more challenging for smaller firms, is that it's all very well taking something to market, but you need something on the back of that to support that process.
Absolutely. And also one of the things that I found in my long and tumultuous career is sometimes you ask customers and they ask for something and you go, oh, I haven't got a clue how to do that, or I don't even know if I can afford to do that, or I want to do that. But having asked, you're then obliged to do it to a large extent. So a lot of people shy away from asking customers too soon because they think, I'm going to get trapped into this, they're going to ask me for the earth and I'm not going to be able to deliver it, and then they're going to give me no credibility at all. So you're absolutely right. You know, there are a number of things to think about when doing this and where you are in the process and what resources you have to actually do it effectively.
Often boils down to resources with a small business too.
Yeah, of course it does. Of course it does. You know, you can only do what you can do. But it's a fascinating process. It's an interesting process launching a business. As Claire knows, recently launching her new business, we talked about innovation and these guys have had a fabulously innovative idea in terms of launching their business. And it was a no-brainer idea, really, that nobody could understand why nobody had ever thought of it before. And that is a genuine gap in the market thing. And I hear that phrase so often, I spotted a gap in the market. And I always go, no, you didn't. Claim a Day is a genuine gap in the market product, and they are quite rare, to be honest. They're quite rare for people to find them and then to exploit them and then to do them and then to build on them. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think what's impressive as well is when individuals can spot, well, can basically reframe things.
Yeah.
So we talk about it as a gap, as though something's been filled in, but actually it's about how have you reframed that? And, and, you know, you've interpreted the world or a sector in a very different way compared to the traditional way of looking at things.
Absolutely.
And that's where the gaps suddenly start appearing.
Tendai made reference to that, didn't he, when he was talking about it coming from your consciousness in terms of how you got your business where you've got to. It's almost impossible to think... Well, you know, they used to call it years ago in management speak, thinking outside the box. It's actually incredibly difficult to do when you're locked in the box. And I, back in the day, many, many years ago, when I was first made a senior corporate executive at far too young an age, we had a board meeting at which a consultant rocked up and said, oh, we need to do something about this, we need to think outside the box. And everybody started muttering about it, and being very naive, I put my hand up and just said, can we just get a new box? And everybody just looked at me, you know, daggers, and went, oh, dude, shut up. Sorry. It is difficult to move yourself outside, which is why I find a lot of innovation in industries comes from people with no connection to that industry at all. They arrive at the industry with no prior knowledge and no lock-in in terms of knowing what works and what doesn't work, because they've got, you know, 100 years experience of it, and therefore they do things that people just wouldn't dream of doing. And you see that quite often, I think, in terms of how people bring products to market that they shouldn't really, by any stretch of the imagination, bring to market. And it was interesting talking about Google renaming themselves Alphabet. Two things I saw with Tendai making reference to Microsoft and their Nokia thing. Google have just announced that they're going to relaunch a new Android phone, smartphone at sub 50 quid for the Indian market. Having failed with a 100 quid device, they've gone for a 50 quid device. So that'll be interesting to see how they do it. And the other thing that made me smile is there was a guy on Twitter last night that owns the Twitter handle Alphabet, who was trying to count his billions. There was a competition going on how much Google are going to pay him to take his Twitter handle off him. I think he may be a little bit disillusioned with what they actually offer him eventually.
It's a massive business that out there, though, as well, especially for the URLs. I mean, I know that you have had a few URLs in your time, and
7,000 I've got. Yeah. I hate to think how many Google have got.
There's an ongoing story with the Star Wars URLs as well that I keep reading, and how they're trying to take them away from a fancy dress company and repatriate them. But there's a lot of money to be made in those sort of games.
We are live on Periscope at the moment, so
that's good.
Yeah, everybody breathe in.
Oh, right, thank you. Yeah. Well, Simon and Claire don't need to breathe in.
No, they're gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You could have left that bit out. Just say you. You didn't have to say me and you. Don't lump me in with your posture and everything else.
Sniffy. No, absolutely. I totally agree. And it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds and where that goes. It is, funny enough, it is one of the difficulties with starting a business these days. It's not just thinking up a name. It's actually getting all the real estate that goes with that name. You know, your Twitter handle, your Facebook page, your URL, and everything else. You know, it just has become a much, much
harder
job. Well,
it's brand. It's the whole brand. And the thing is, if you've got someone that's sitting on a Twitter handle that they haven't used since 1066 and you can't get hold of them, it's
well, somebody cyber, I know it's very small beer, but somebody cyber squatted on the Business Bunker Twitter handle for 4 years.
It was Dr. John and I that got
it probably for you. And I couldn't get hold of it, so I ended up with some silly name, Vanilla Web, that I used instead, that didn't mean anything, because you know, I just couldn't get the Business Bunker. I do own it now, but it took me ages to get Twitter.
No, it took me and Dr. John and lots of research to get it. And we've never had any thanks. Not even a glass of Prosecco.
We did talk
Simon.
About the delegator on the last show, didn't we, Paul?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You're very good at that.
Exactly. I fix it now, Jules. Delegated.
I think he's more leaning back and not looking for it. He decided he couldn't get it, and we decided we could.
Yes.
He's given up. What's that?
No,
what's the giving up one?
No. Hold on. Wait a cotton picking minute. I have it now, do I not?
Yes.
And it didn't take me any work to get it, did it not?
No, because Dr. Jordan.
Because you
and
did,
I did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he obviously had ultimate faith in you, Jules.
Exactly.
Possibly. I think I did it on one of my holidays, which he apparently says I have so many.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anyway. Dr. Simon Raby, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Business Bunk Show. Fascinating as always. A really interesting discussion on innovation. Do, as I say, download the booklet of all 10 traits. Do look at the research data. Do go to the University of Kent Business School website and look at all the resources they've got. There's some fascinating stuff there. And I believe that if people want to get involved in the research programmes, that they can still do that. Is that true?
By all means, yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a programme of research that we have going on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
From anything, you know, in terms of contributing your time, anything from a 15-minute survey to a personal interview to even a case study, if you'd like to actually volunteer your organisation for one. So we're always looking for people to take part in the process. We wouldn't be able to find out more about organisations unless we studied them.
Absolutely.
So anyone who really could get in touch and obviously wants to take a part in that, that'd be great. The research process is also being spread out nationally and now internationally as well.
Oh, okay.
So there's a huge potential for you to network with a broader set of businesses and really learn about how they're growing and performing.
Fantastic. Simon, thank you so much for that, as always. Been Thanks an absolute lot, pleasure to talk to you again. Thank you so much, Dr. Simon Raby from the University of Kent Business School. Jules, we've had a tweet from Diane
you
Dupree.
You can carry on periscoping.
That's delegation as well, isn't it?
Yes,
wait,
you see.
Do that.
Diane Dupree, yes, yeah. Who's got the best name in town, yeah. In my book. What's she saying?
Greetings from Invicta IP. Is it too soon to mention the Man U Expo? Man U Elec Expo.
Is that a manufacturing expo?
I happen to know it's a hashtag. No, that's a Twitter handle, which is MANUELECEXPO. Man U Elec Expo. It's the Manufacturing and Electrical Expo, which is taking place
September,
later in the
is
year.
September or October?
I'm not sure exactly when. I shall look it up on Find a Day.
Yes, that's a good idea.
I think we need to check that out.
Yeah.
It's an expo taking place later in the year, and there was one, a similar type of thing at the beginning of the year. So, Diane, thank you for mentioning that. And Diane is known on the Twitter as Invicta IP. Diane runs a business that specialises in intellectual property.
And you see, we were talking about branding. It's all fitted nicely in, isn't it? Because she is probably the first point of call when you're starting up a business.
Right.
To check there's nobody out there that's got the same name or something similar.
Absolutely. Danny's been on again.
About my boiler?
No, he's saying he's back in now and he's listening to us on the radio.
Well, I need the boiler done very quickly. Yeah. You know these plumbers, they're always booked up, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Kent and Victor Chamber have got a networking which includes a full English breakfast, 8 to 9.30, and it costs, in the morning, that is, it's £15 plus VAT for Chamber members, and non-members are £20 plus VAT. The next one is this Thursday, the 13th of August, at St Augustine's at Westgate-on-Sea, which will be very nice in this weather, and Friday, the 14th of August, at Hollywood Bowl in Rochester, and also the 18th of August, which is a Tuesday, at the Dog and Bear Hotel in Lenham.
The Dog and Bear.
Yeah,
know it well.
Sounds good, doesn't
Blimey,
it?
Blimey, I know it well.
The Tweet Up have written in to say that they're having a little August holiday, but you can catch up with them
again.
She
always sounds like Dane Evra when she does that. They're having a little holiday.
Little holiday.
They're having a little holiday. And it'll be really nice possums.
Have you got any gladioli?
Yeah.
So they're having a little, holiday thing.
Little holiday.
You've put me off my stride.
Sorry.
Now. Canterbury. It is on a Wednesday, September the 2nd. Focus. 10 to 12 noon. And the website is kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. So they're back again Wednesday, September the 2nd. And that will be at the Miller's Arms, I do believe.
Yep.
But it is on the Kent Business Radio website.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet back from Juliet Shand, who says, thank you to Claim a Day for all of your help, and Business Bunker, Vanilla Web, Jewel Circle, and you guys and your networks are fab.
Oh,
so
that's
she's
very
sorted.
Kind.
She's on the Lloyds Bank website. She's downloaded the template, and she's knocking out a business plan.
Fabulous.
All thanks to Claire.
And also, I noticed that Click Bidwrite has also muscled in as well, because I tweeted. So they're on the ball as well.
Good. Nice one.
I meant muscled in a nice way there.
Yeah. You've upset Danny.
Have you got a boiler?
You've upset Danny.
Oh, what's happened?
He says plumbers, question mark.
He's a heating
He's a heating professional.
It just means he doesn't get down on his hands and knees much.
Listen, it's all right, Danny, I'll sort her out later, don't worry, mate.
What's the difference between a heating engineer?
Don't even go there.
So he just does
you're
boilers.
You're on just such dodgy ground, just don't go there.
So he won't
professional.
He won't do a wet room for me then, that means, because I do need a wet room done.
I'll do a wet room for you. It's just a bucket of water, isn't it?
Oh, like you just fixed my Wi-Fi. We've heard all that. Before,
is it getting fixed?
Possibly.
Is it getting fixed?
I'll tell you when I'm not as on 4G in my own house.
As Simon quite rightly identified, I'm the master delegator. I said I'd get it fixed. Someone's coming to fix it.
Claire, I can feel a domestic coming on.
Yeah, exactly.
FSB, that's the Federation of Small Businesses, they have a networking, which is September the 8th. This is a diary date, 6 to 7.30 in the evening, they say, and it's at the Innovation Centre in Medway. That's in Rochester, at Chatham. So they're sort of combined, don't they, Rochester and Chatham? You go to Rochester, and if you walk a little bit, you'd be in Chatham.
Yeah, and if you kept walking, you'd be in Stroud, and if you kept walking, you'd be in London.
Yeah, but Rochester and Chatham, they sort of mix. I don't know. I've been over that bridge.
Anyway,
thing.
Enough of that. Come on, get on. We're running out of time.
The sat nav is M for Mother, E for Egbert, 5, 9, F for Freddie, and D for Donald. Talking of ducks, and they've put the United Kingdom on it.
I've been told to give you a poke by the plumber.
Really?
There you go.
Is he a heating engineer? so that is, when did I say, thanks for the poke, Danny, it's September the 8th, 6 to 7:30.
OK, Diana's been back on, Diane Dupree, and she says the expo is on the 7th of October.
Told you it was October.
We have a stand there, but I can't remember the number, but visit us, ask about patents, I thought it said parents for a minute.
No,
ask about patents. OK, Diane, we will do.
And she doesn't mean shoes.
No, absolutely, and if you do... if you do remember your stand name, tweet us and we'll put it out.
Well, we've got 2 months.
Yeah. Anyway, it's now time for...
Channel Radio News Update.
Right. In today's news update, we've got a few emails to read for you when Jules has finished playing with her telephone. There's a big breakfast with guest speaker Damien Green MP. Come and hear from Damien Green MP, who will be talking about local issues and will be available for your Q&A session. And that's going to be on Friday the 18th of September from 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. at Eastwell Manor. That's at the Pavilion at Eastwell Manor. And that's a Kent Invicta Chamber event. Do go along and have a word with Mr. Green. We would like to ask him why the government have still not come up with a solution for Operation Stack, other than just annoying the people of Thanet to add grief to the misery. Jules.
Your chance to book for the FSB Members' Race Day at Lingfield Park on Saturday the 12th of September. The second of a trio of member services events takes place on this date, the 12th of September, which is a Saturday, at the Lingfield Park Racecourse. It's a chance to join an exclusive number of FSB members attending the Lingfield Park Horse Racing Day. There's a preferential FSB rate of just £80, including VAT, and you'll have the opportunity of treating you and your special guest to an extraordinary hospitality package, which sees the FSB sponsor the day's entire race card. So to find out more, go to the Kent Business Radio website, and it's on, again, the Saturday the 12th of September at Lingfield Park Racecourse. Sounds lovely. There's a four-course lunch, there's a tipster session, there's a quiz, and there's free reserve car parking.
Fantastic. Thank you for that.
Sounds good.
The 6th Cross-Border Jobs Happening. That's a snappy title,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The 6th Cross-Border Jobs Happening, involving more than 30 businesses from Belgium, France and the UK, is coming up again on Thursday the 8th of October. This event is based on the outskirts of Calais at Gymnasium René Hocard and runs from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is one-day event will give you everything you need to know about working in France, Belgium and the UK, and will be a tool for the employment and the social and economic development of these areas. Previous events have boasted over 4,000 visitors and over 100 employers' stands. Not only is there an excellent opportunity to meet a huge pool of highly qualified and motivated candidates, it will also provide the chance to meet and network with other corporations, recruiters and professionals in the field from the three countries. For more details on how to register your company to take part, there's a link, and the link is www.jobtransfrontaliers, and I will spell that for you. That's jobtransfrontaliers, jobtransfrontaliers, jobtransfrontaliers.eu, and then if you put /en, you can read it in English.
I liked your French. What's the only French phrase you know?
I know loads of French phrases.
You know that one about the monkey, though, don't you?
Mensonge dans l'arbre.
Yeah, that's quite good. You say it very well.
I use that all the time.
I actually thought you were French when you said that.
Yeah. I used to work, many years ago, I worked briefly in La Défense, on the outskirts of Paris, the business district, on the outskirts of Paris.
With Sacha Distel.
No, and I worked there for weeks and I got by with that.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's all you said?
Yeah. Yeah, oui, ça va, d'accord,
mensonge
dans l'arbre.
Van Blanc?
My monkey's up
Van
a tree.
Rouge.
Yeah.
Well, they probably thought you were an eccentric.
Quite possibly.
There is,
it worked.
There is auto-enrolment, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
And it's all wrapped up exclusively if you're an FSB member. And the FSB pension scheme for members has been updated with the same terms and conditions, or T&Cs, as before, but now offering some new and exciting features. What are they, I hear you ask?
What are they, Jules?
Yes.
Tell us, do tell us.
They are new provider, improved services, faster setup process, and a lower total management charge. All this, and still for just one single charge, exclusively available to FSB members. Everything you need to know about the new pension scheme can be found on the brand new website. Go to www.fsbpensionservices.co.uk.
Cool. I've had a tweet from Angela. Another Journey Begins.
Yeah, is she on holiday?
Well, she says, I'm really sorry I missed the Business Bunker show. I hope the show's gone well. I will listen to it again on catch-up. Miss you all. Lots of love. Angela. So there you go.
Well, Samson's getting a bit hot under the collar, and he says, boilers and heating only, not plumbing. Yeah. But surely... Sorry, Danny, but when you attach a boiler with a pipe, surely that's plumbing. You don't just stick it on the wall.
She doesn't learn, does she?
And you must have a bit of mastic to put around it.
She doesn't learn.
And all those hot things they use to solder it.
Think this through.
Yeah.
Have you got a broken boiler at the moment?
I have.
Do you want someone to fix it?
I would.
Do you think abusing him on the radio is going to work?
I'm not abusing him. I'm questioning.
Questioning his professional integrity.
I'm questioning him, you know. It's like when I say I do PR and people go, oh, yeah, I do advertise. Completely don't get it. You know, the number of people that say...
I tell you what, then, you ought to move into plumbing.
Yeah, maybe I will. I could solder.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk to him afterwards about exactly what a heating engineer does as opposed to a plumber. I guess he doesn't do wet rooms and bathrooms.
There is a difference, because there are plumbers that can't be heating engineers, especially if it involves gas, because you need
He's
to be...
He's Corgi.
No, Corgi died years
is it
ago.
Not Corgi
yeah,
anymore?
No, Corgi pegged it years ago.
God, I'm so old.
You are. It's gas safe these days.
Oh, so that was a rebrand?
Gas safe has been in place for years and years and years. Yeah.
Well, every plumber I talk to always says, oh, I'm not Corgi registered, or I am Corgi registered.
Gas safe.
So they're still calling it that?
No.
So the rebrand's been
No,
hopeless.
You haven't talked to a plumber for ages. You've been
I
talking.
Have. My best friends are plumbers, about four of them, but they're all too busy. They hate me. In fact, my cleaner's...
no, I wonder why.
My cleaner's husband Kel's is a plumber.
A bit more French for you. Kel Surprise.
No, my cleaner's husband's a plumber, but I sometimes...
And you've already abused her this week as well. Maybe he's got your apple.
Sometimes you want to keep it out of your, you know, you want somebody, you know.
Read an email.
This is my last one of the day.
Good.
Capital grant of up to £5,000 available from KCC. This is Kent County Council's Transport Innovations team, and they're offering businesses an exciting opportunity to apply for a capital grant of up to £5,000. And you can it's to implement measures on your site which will help your staff travel sustainably to and from work, active and or sustainable travel. So it's been shown to save money, improve productivity, reduce sick leave and boost morale in the workplace. Be good when the old tube strike was on, if you could use this, wouldn't it? Mm. It can also improve your business's carbon footprint, reduce congestion and the number of car parking spaces required on site. So you need to find out more. Go to 3W's Jam Busters TPM for Mother S for Sugar .co.uk/workreg. And the deadline for grant applications is Wednesday the 30th of September. There's a good word. It's a grant application, so that's great. And it needs to be allocated by Wednesday 21st of October. And work will need to be completed and invoiced to Kent County Council by Monday 29th of Feb next year. You can contact Nola Cooper, and her email is businesstravelplan@kent.gov.uk.
I did warn you, Jules.
I do like a grant.
I did warn you, Jules.
What's Danny
Danny
saying?
Has just tweeted.
Oh, is he getting a bit hot under
He will fix your boiler, but it now includes a PR tax.
Well, I want to know if he just sticks it on the wall, or is he going to plumb it in?
Why don't you quit?
If he's not going to plumb the pipes in, then what's he going to do?
Why don't you quit while you're marginally ahead?
Does he bring a plumber in to plumb in the boiler?
You're digging yourself a bigger hole.
It's just gas.
Dennis Healey's first law of politics. When you're in a hole, stop digging.
Are you looking at my eyebrows?
Yeah, I am. Right, the UK economy is fundamentally stronger than it was 5 years ago, according to the ONS. More than 2 million new jobs have been created in the UK since 2010. This growth is set to continue. The Office for Budget Responsibility forecasts GDP growth at 2.4% in 2015 and 2.3% in 2016. To ensure this growth can be sustained, the Chancellor has emphasised that Britain wants to produce more and the country also needs to invest more. Absolutely.
He's also choking on the word mastic as well, Danny.
Oh, here
apparently
we go.
I mentioned mastic.
Cool. Anyway, enough of all that. I think we're just about at the end of today's show. What
we
do you
are.
Think?
Yeah.
We've now annoyed every heating engineer in the country.
Yeah. Most French people.
Most of the French nation. Yeah. Mind you, that's just retribution for last week, not being able to drive anywhere around here, I guess. Anyway.
The Welsh village, we couldn't remember the name of.
Absolutely. We're good at annoying people, aren't we? I'd like to say a massive, massive thank you to everybody for listening to today's Kempis Radio Business Bunker show, to our show sponsors, the lovely folks at Rift Accounting, to our fabulous guests, the lovely Claire Burrows of Claim a Day, Find a Day and AnswerCom, and Mr. Radio himself, Patrick Boniface, to our academic wonder kid, Dr. Simon Raby, and lovely to hear from Dr. Tendai Vicky from Zimbabwe. Thank you all for joining us on the Business Bunker show. We will be back next week. Coming up on Channel Radio for the rest of today, at 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, in his lovely stripy socks,
There's
will be with us.
There's a queue forming already.
There is indeed.
Lots of ladies.
Absolutely, and he normally has a wonderful lineup of guests. I'm not sure who he's got on today, but they're normally the great and the good clamour to get on his show. That's followed at 7 o'clock by Mr. Jamie Andrews with 18 tracks of new, unsigned, up-and-coming music on the absolutely fabulous New Potato Show. Immediately following that is the Club Culture Show with the absolutely extraordinarily wonderful Mr. Boy George.
I love him.
At 9 o'clock. And then we have a little break, and then at 11 o'clock we round off the night with Phil Thorne and The Big Noise. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk. We will be back with the Business Bunker show next week here on campusinsradio.co.uk. You can listen to the catch-up and the Listen Again and the podcast service almost straight away after the show. We will be back next week. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Paul Andrews and the Kent Business Bunker on Channel Radio.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.